Which is it? Which of the signs, which of the miraculous signs in the life and story of Jesus gets recorded in all four Gospels? Which of the fantastic narratives of extraordinary experience gets included in all four? Only one of them does. You're going, uh-oh, now what? It's the feeding of the 5,000. This beloved story, this terrific tale, this account of something very important in the life and mission of Jesus that ends up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe that's significant. Maybe you know that those earliest depictions of Jesus are not of a male figure stretched out on a cross, but the very earliest depiction of Jesus, 3rd, 4th centuries way back there, are what? They're a figure of a man with bread. And the loaves are lifted above his head. When they wanted to think about and remember this picture of their Lord, it was one who hosted a meal. Fascinating. Just fascinating. Maybe that shouldn't surprise us. After all, in those early times, food was, well, a significant concern. How many street corners were there where you could go through the drive-thru? Zero. How many grocery stores were there you could stop and swipe your card and get a bag full? Zero. How many refrigerators were there in kitchens where you could put things and keep it till you see the point? A people who were vulnerable, a people who were always on the edge of not having enough. No wonder Jesus and his disciples would have it as their calling and their claim, this dramatic feeding story. We're getting school supplies, so maybe we should go in study mode, okay? This is kind of school. Should we do that together? That means you're going to need the Bible out of the pew in front of you, not the hymnal, but the Bible. And if you want to reach to and even get a pencil out of there, you could take your yellow slip or don't take any of the school supplies. But, you know, reach around, see if you can't grab something. Because we're going to take a look at this amazing story. This amazing story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's in Matthew chapter 14. And if you haven't kind of navigated before one of these books, there's two big chunks. There's the first or the old or the Hebrew Testament, and then there's the newer one, the New Testament. And they're not roughly equal, but if you kind of go, well, maybe about three quarters toward the back, you'll see that the numbers start over again. And on page, I don't know, hold up your hand. Matthew 14, is it on page 16 or something? Okay. All right, you're there. That's good. Now, the first thing that a good biblical student does is not only look at the text that's before us, which is Matthew 14, and it starts about verse 13, I think, the little tiny numbers. That's the one that I just read. That's the report, the account of Jesus and his disciples in this encounter with 5,000 on the hillside. All right, so you have the text, but you always have the context. Ah, click. So what comes right before the feeding of the 5,000? If you look at the beginning of chapter 14, just let your eye scan over that a little bit. Yes, somebody, John the Baptist, right? Right? What else? Yeah, there's a different kind of meal happening. It's the great banquet of Herod. That son of a Herod. Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, who by the way, had been the tetrarch when Jesus was born. This guy's old man. We got tyrant, 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 tyrant. See how it works? Okay, and in this kind of banquet, there's the demise of which character? John the Baptizer. and he meets his end in a most grisly and horrific way, right? Okay, so hold your picture there, because this Herod, it might be worth looking toward the front of Matthew's gospel. Just look back, chapter 2, verse 3. You didn't know you're going to get a Bible study today. Chapter 2, verse 3, there is more of a description of, well, it's from the birth narrative, and the report comes that Jesus is to be born. So the wise men come, and they have this interesting late-night conversation with Herod, and he says, oh, when you find the child, just tell me all about it. But in his heart, what happens? Chapter 2, verse 3, how's Herod feeling? Frightened. Frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. When the boss is nervous, everybody's nervous. When the king gets scared, we are in big trouble. Okay? You see the kind of the backdrop here? All right. So John's ministry, John's reputation, this moment has finally come where Herod will just have no more of it, so has John arrested. He, after all, is fairly critical of Herod's marriage to his sister-in-law. And what is this strange relationship with his stepdaughter? What's going on there? So he has John imprisoned, and so there is this party. So I wondered if we could compare and contrast just a little bit. You could take your yellow slip or however you want to do it, but we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7-point sermon. No, we'll go fast. No worries. So we have the feast of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000, right? And then the other is the feast of Herod. And maybe these two are the same. Maybe they're quite different. Okay? For instance, first of all, the location. What's the location of Jesus' feasts? Yeah, it's outside. In fact, I think the word there is the word wilderness. Picture, if you will, those wandering people back in Exodus. Where are they? In the wildness, in the wilderness. They're outside of Herod's place. So where is Herod's great feast? Yeah, we're pretty sure it's the palace. It doesn't actually say that in the text, but that's reasonable to expect. It's this kind of inside place. Probably music and barrels of beverages and all manner of things to share. So who, number two, who are the guests? At Jesus' feast, who's there? Yeah, it says 5,000, and I think it says, does it use the word crowds? I think that's what it says. Whoever. It's this sort of indiscriminate gathering. It's people, some of whom are sick, because it says Jesus is providing some healing. These are folks. These are just people. Who are the guests for Herod's big bash? It's going to be a long sermon if you don't participate. I think it's the word company, but you know, you might imagine invited guests, people who made it past the guards. What these are, you know, we would call them sycophants. If the king needs people around him to reassure him, these are yes men and women, or their consorts, however that might be. There's also another one there. She's not named, but we know from the other Gospels that Salome, who's she? Daughter of Herodias. Okay, we'll keep going. Let's see, number three, what's on the menu? At Jesus' feast, they have, yeah, how many? Very few. You know, people make jokes about tuna fish sandwiches and how far can you make that go. And it's pretty clear that when the disciples realized how minimal amount they actually had, what was the disciples' suggestion? Man, get them out of here. Send them back to the villages. Send them back to those places where they can get in line and buy stuff. That's the solution to so many things, is just go shopping, right? We sort of snicker just a little bit about that, but the reality is, who owned the villages? And who owned the means of production? Who controlled the markets? Who was in charge of the land where this stuff was grown?
Herod.
No, don't send them back to the empire's machine. What does Jesus say? You take care of it. You take care of it. What are they eating at the palace? We don't know. You can use your imagination, though. What do you think they served? Ooh, everything. Everything. Who waits tables? Here it's the disciples, which is a fascinating thing. If there are 5,000 guests, and those are only the men, it's probably reasonable to expect that there would also have been children and women. Maybe something like our gathering here, you can do some arithmetic in your head, and what is there, 15 or 20,000 folks? How long would it take 12 people to distribute 5 loaves and 2 fish to that many people? I mean, they'd take a week. So, you know, what's happening? What is this extraordinary event? How it's playing out? Is it magical, or is there another kind of conversion? Well, that's a good question. Who's waiting the tables over here? Yeah, there's the slaves. The numbers of persons who were slaves back in the day would have shocked us. All right, let's see. Who's the host? Number 5, who's the host? Yeah, we would say Jesus, but where does Jesus look? He sees the crowd and has compassion, but he looks, where does he look?
Heaven.
It's not just about up, but you wonder, is Jesus looking to the host of all such gatherings? Over here, it's that despot, right? It's the emperor. Look at verse 5 in chapter 14. What does it say about this host? How was he feeling? Yeah, that's kind of an epidemic among these folks. All right, number 6. Tell me about the leftovers. The leftovers at Jesus' banquet or feast. What is there? 12 baskets. How many disciples? How many tribes? You start to see this, how the narrator is working, right? To make sure that there's enough for all of them. There's enough, they're all satisfied. There's provision and purpose and design in that. What are the leftovers at Herod's feast? I read one article that said their only leftover at that feast was the head of the Baptist. Ugh. Horrid. Shocking. Well, finally, number 7. How about the purpose? The purpose of the meal. What's the purpose of this feeding of 5,000 persons? On one basic level, it's just to satisfy hunger, right? Here's vulnerable people who are in trouble. It's just to make sure that they have enough. But isn't it a picture too? Isn't there some glory of God that gets realized in this event? Okay. How about over here? The purpose seems all about death, all about fear. Maybe you could say lifestyles of the rich and shameless. Yeah, Herod's feast seems to be about power, about control, a way to limit and contain. This last Thursday, a group of us went to Mount Vernon. I'm a member of the Everett Faith in Action Group. That's local pastoral leaders and some social service agencies, Sylvia from the Everett Gospel Mission, and some folks from the city. I mean, we're all trying to figure out, why is there hunger and homelessness? And I think we all know why, but man, what do we do about it? So we went to Mount Vernon to the Friendship House trying to figure out what that community does. And I'm not sure they have a better plan than does Everett. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be there and see folks who had dedicated themselves to feeding and housing, providing resources and medical care, even a place to wash clothes for people who had nothing. I was inspired, but I was also overwhelmed. Because how many could they serve? On a good day, they could house 50 of them. On a really good day, they might be able to feed 100 and 150. But how many need help? The numbers in our county are quite staggering. I want to go to Jesus and say, would you send them away? Just take them somewhere. Have you ever thought that? I'm overwhelmed and hopeful. I'm exhausted and yet feel some promise. Jesus, what are you doing? If you were around here this last Tuesday night, you would have seen Ron and I don't know, 30 other volunteers from the congregation. I think Ron, I don't know, did you give away 500 corn dogs? Yeah, about that, he said, yeah. And there were no 12 baskets of corn dogs left over. It was this beautiful kind of moment, maybe a snapshot of something bigger, some vision of God's purposes, but every one of those corn dogs has now been fully consumed. And there are people who need more corn dogs or more, right? I love this, but I'm not quite sure what to do. Maybe you feel that same consternation. And maybe that's how it ought to be. That you and I, as hard as we work, as devoted as we are, we still depend on not ourselves, but on this host, this one who empowers you and me in 1,000 small ways or 100 bigger ways to do what's right, to be God's people, taking care of those who are before us. Would you stand with me? The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Oh God, we have so much. Now what do we do? Oh God, we have more than we need. Now what do we do? Oh God, we have enough. What do we do? But follow you. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.